When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football, mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
126.
Jeez, quick today.
Yes, come on.
On the ball. Abdi would disagree that we're on the ball, but I'd say that was on the ball.
I'd say we're on the ball.
You guys had me waiting outside for like half an hour.
Crazy.
Which is so disrespectful.
But I feel like you turned up a little bit early to our defence.
Yeah, okay, cool. But I mean, were you on time? From what they agreed time? Okay, cool. There you go. That's all they need to know, isn't it? Do you know what happened while I was outside? Can you believe, in big 2022, people are trying to sell mixtapes?
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know if he lives here or not, but there's a car parked outside, and I'm waiting there, waiting for you guys. And then all of a sudden, this guy, he was by his car for ages. So it looks super dodgy. He comes to me, he opens his car. He goes, "Bruv, come, I want to show you something."
Did you go?
Yeah. It was like the distance between me and you here. So I walked to his car and he goes, "Hey, bruv, I'm like a rapper. I do Afro beats and drill," which is an interesting mix. And then he goes, "It's $3.99. You can buy it off me." I was like, "Bruv, I don't have a CD player. Like, I don't know where I would play
and also,
this."
Also, like, who carries cash around? Like
then he goes to, "Am I going to get my 1p change as well?" Innit? So I go to him. I don't have it. He goes, "Bruv, it's all right. Like, you can." He goes, "You can put this
cash
in your computer."
No.
He goes, "You can put this in your computer." And I was like, "I don't have a desktop computer, and my laptop doesn't take CDs." He goes, "Oh, do you have like an Xbox or a PlayStation?" And I was like, "Bro, I don't."
Right, he was reading them all off.
I know. And I was just like, "Bro, like." I was like, to be honest, like, if you gave it to me, I'd probably just throw it away. And then I go to him, "Bro, like, there's the internet. Why are you selling mixtapes?" Because I like the old school way. And I was like, "This is why you're selling mixtapes in on the street."
Definitely a
mentality.
Blank CD. Definitely a blank CD.
Should
have said, put it in.
He even opened up. He had like a whole old school like CD, like a case, and he opened it, and then he has his picture on
the artwork.
He has his picture was on the CD, and he told me like it had a whole list of like his songs and all that stuff. I was just like, "Bro, like, why would he give it to me anyway? Like, you could just, am I a DJ? Go to a radio station or something."
No, but it's about building your fan base, isn't it?
I told him, I was like, I would frisbee that so far into
the
distance.
No, you didn't say that to him. He
said to him, I was like, "Bro, I'll probably just throw it away." He goes, "All right, okay, cool. I was like, "All right, don't fight me over it, man. I don't care."
You're brave, man. Yeah. You're a brave man.
And the moral of the story is that what you haven't said is the CD sitting right next to you right now.
Yeah, okay. I got my 1p change in it.
He's got his Walkman and everything.
Yeah, well, would you do that?
What?
Sell mixtapes?
No.
So there you go. Why are you defending it?
I don't believe I have been defending it.
Crazy. Let us know what that's like later on.
Tell us what track number you like best.
Exactly. How would I listen to it though? Would I just hold it up against my ear?
Let me just pull out my Walkman from 2003.
Definitely got a Walkman. No, I never had a Walkman ever.
You used to have rollerblades and a Walkman, don't lie.
No, I definitely didn't have rollerblades. I'd be in A&E. Rollerblades. I'd be in A&E.
Man
to
used to
day.
Listen to Blue on his Walkman.
No Tanya this week. But shouts out to her.
Strike two, Tanya.
Strike two. Abdi and Tanya are neck and neck right now, man.
Behave yourself.
All right, shall we just get started? We don't really have a spotlight game this week, so shall we just go in order?
Or an agenda, Abdi. But we move, and we'll chat football as we will.
You got one more shady comment to make against you, Mark.
Abdi's looking a little bit sheepish over there. All right, let's start with the first game of the weekend. Newcastle versus Liverpool. Mark, you ready to go first?
Like, I do rarely go first. Yeah. It's quite nice, actually. Just get it all out. I've got to admit to you guys, though, I was a little bit worried going into that game because, form-wise, they'd won their last six on the trot at St. James's Park in the league. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And just in general, they're looking pretty good under Eddie Howe. We made changes. We made five changes. It's not been often this season that James Milner start, but arguably he was our man of the match. Him or Joel Gomez. I want to give a special shout out to Joel Gomez because the performance he put in at right back was unbelievable. He just looks so much more comfortable on the ball now, which obviously you need when you're playing in our system as a right back. But the important thing for us was that we got the 3 points. City were always going to beat Leeds later on that evening. But yeah, it was a good game. I mean, I was worried about Newcastle, but they were decent, but they weren't causing us many threats at all.
I was kind of disappointed in Newcastle.
That's what I mean.
I thought they would have gone for it.
I was worried more so playing them than I have been recently because we've been on fire. And I was saying to you on the walk up here or whenever it was, we go into games now. I know we're going to score a goal.
Yeah.
And I know more often than not, we're going to control the ball, control the tempo of the game. And I was just worried that Newcastle would take that sting out of us a little bit because obviously we played Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, and then we got the 12:30 on Saturday. You get a day off on Thursday. You got Friday to train tactics, so you're not even going to go too hard on that Friday. So it's almost as if we couldn't have too much preparation. Like I said, the changes.
From a Newcastle perspective, I didn't really understand why they put Joe Linton left wing on Joe Gomez. I get like they probably thought, okay, cool, if we're going to play long and we want to do those diags, then Joe Linton will probably be a favourite against Trent. But it's Joe Gomez, you know, he's a centre back, he's good at winning aerial duels. That was bad. But do you think anyone ever practiced offsides during the week with Newcastle? Because that was a joke.
No, you know what it is. You've got to give our high line kudos. We've conceded more offside goals this season than we've conceded goals. We've mastered that high line. No matter who's in that back four, you've got to think Matip and Konate are in and out. Gomez was in for Trent. Obviously, Robbo and Verge are mainstays. But we can kind of change personnel back there and the line is still strong, as you saw at St. James's Park.
It's taken a while to perfect it.
It's taken a while to perfect it, but we have perfected it, and it means we can play higher up the pitch, win the ball higher up the pitch, create more chances. Just in general,
they had 9 offsides. That's the most in the Premier League game this season.
That is insane. That is insane. I could understand Newcastle fans being frustrated by that, but you just have to kind of accept and say to yourself, you know what, it was poor from our attackers in the sense that they couldn't hold their runs, but actually half the time they all look baffled, but if you watch some of those back, it's a last minute step up from Joel Gomez. Boom, cool, let me catch him offside, or a last minute step up from Verge, and it just catches you out, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're offside.
There's that Almiron goal in it that Joe stepped up.
That's exactly what I was referring to.
He scored
an offside goal. Everyone knew it was off though. Everyone kind of stopped.
I don't know why they were complaining about the goal though.
But yeah, that tackle. For me, we said it in the chat straight away. I thought that was a great tackle.
If anything, Cher fouled him in it.
And Naby, really important goal. The composure from Naby was just good to see. I think that's his fourth or fifth goal of the season, and you'd expect more from him. But with Naby, he's coming into his own now. He's starting more games. He's getting more minutes. He's staying injury free, which is the key thing.
We're getting the Naby
that we thought we signed. Yeah, we're getting that now. And I really think he deserves a new deal.
Oh, is he out of contract?
Not out of contract, but I think he's got 2 years left.
Okay, well, yeah, that's the point where you would start negotiating a new deal. But yeah, I was about to say that surely that's the end of Ox and Minamino. Like, they weren't even in the squad this
year. We're not going to do much this summer, I don't think. I think from what I'm reading, some reliable, some not. There's going to be two or three incoming. So Tchouaméni will be the main one. Got a young right back from Scotland coming in as understudy for Trent. And aside from that, I don't see us doing much more. I do think Ox will go, Minamino will go, Origi's going to Milan. And outside of that, we'll see what we do. But squad's looking strong.
You did most of your business. Well, I mean, bringing in Diaz was pretty much the business that you need. You don't need to bring in
Diaz and Konate.
You're probably going to do that in the summer, innit, Diaz? But you brought it forward because of Spurs.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't even going to... listen, thank God Spurs made their move, because he's just given us that extra spark this second half of the season, and it's given defenders, you know, you've seen it against the big boys, that City, you've seen it in the Champions League semi-final last week, he was amazing. It gives defenders another thing to think about it. B, it gives us a whole new element to our game. C, he's really comfortable on the ball, the way he can pick the ball up, dribble at speed, and just pass a defender like they're not there.
Was it added a whole new where he element. Did that skill?
The touch.
Yeah. So yeah, he's incredible. He's like,
Weekend game.
Everton?
Yeah, where Jamie Carragher was like, oh, like he stopped.
Oh, it might have been Everton actually. Yeah, it might have been Everton.
Where he stopped doing.
I was watching that game thinking there's two of my favourite players on the pitch right now, Diaz and Saint-Maximin. But Saint-Maximin was driving me mad.
His first touch that game was on.
Be careful, I dropped my stocks.
He's kind of, from a Newcastle perspective, Chris Wood hasn't started their last two. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one because they signed him.
Has he scored?
Yeah, he scored two goals.
He's got the pen a couple of weeks ago.
And then the goal against Southampton.
And goal against Southampton.
Oh, yeah.
But I think with that Chris Wood one, I don't see him having a starting role next season.
Definitely not. Wilson will be fit.
It looks like Eddie Howe's kind of planning for next season now.
Yeah.
By going Saint-Maximin up top on his own, Chris Wood on the bench, and then Bruno is starting all of the games now, whereas before he was kind of in and out, getting the last half hour. Looked really impressive. But even he came out after the game and said, listen, there's levels to this. They were just so much better than us today. And don't get me wrong, it's been a long time since we've gone into the final 10 minutes 1-0 up. Like, it was proper squeaky bum time. But we saw it out well.
Yeah.
That was good to see.
I didn't think
they
were going to score at any point, really. It didn't look like it.
They didn't look threatening, but 1-0 is the most precarious scoreline you can find yourself. Yeah. Going into the 80th minute, it's the worst. It's the worst scoreline, other than a 0-0 when you want to push for the winner and you get hit on the counter. But 1-0, you're defending the lead. You think, should we sit back here? Should we go for a second? What are Newcastle going to do? But overall, got to be happy with the 3 points.
Yeah,
keeps us 1 point behind City. I knew they were gonna smack Leeds.
You just have to keep doing what you're doing.
Got to keep doing what we're doing.
So we talk about Villarreal a bit.
Yeah, well, that's tonight.
The first leg.
First leg. What can I say? We were just so much better than them. Mm-hmm. Again, offside trap was causing them multiple issues. It's testament to the way our game's evolved. That offside trap is relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Start of the season, it was a little bit shaky. Everyone was saying it. Carragher used to say it on commentary, but as you said a couple of minutes ago, we've almost mastered it now. We've pretty much mastered it. So you're going to have to master kind of beating that offside trap now when you come up against us.
I do feel people are being a bit harsh on Villarreal because, like, there was a guy on TalkSport, he was saying they're a disgrace and everything.
But he's a disgrace.
Yeah,
because I thought that was, like, what did he expect? You know, they've got a lower wage bill than Burnley.
Probably
a lower budget than Burnley.
They've been successful playing the way they're playing. They won the European League.
They're in the
semi-final of the Champions League. You don't get there by being a disgrace.
It's just, what can they do? Like, if you're not going to have the ball against Liverpool, I mean, ideally, they probably would want the ball because it's football. You want the ball, don't you? I mean, you don't play the game without it. You know, obviously, they're not a team of 11 McTominay, isn't it?
But then it goes then it goes actually back to, I think his name was Jason Kundi or something.
Jason Kundi, yeah.
Kundi. Then it goes back to, what did he expect?
Yeah.
How you can't be making a statement like that after the game if you haven't watched Villarreal play football this season.
Exactly, yeah. He definitely hasn't. He's just a reaction off that game, isn't it? He probably hasn't even watched any other Villarreal Champions League game.
But then also, that's the point I'm making, is that how can you like, we won't get into it, but how can you, Villarreal have been very successful this season, and in the main, what they did against us is how they've done it, and what they did against Bayern and Juventus.
But also, like, I don't understand, like, if Villarreal had come out and tried to play football against Liverpool, they're going to get battered.
Yeah.
And then, so what? They lose 6-0, and then what? Are you going to call them, Villarreal were brave?
The thing, going in at half-time, they would have said, cool, we've done our job this first
nil,
half.
Nil, yeah.
Let's keep this up. And then, obviously, it's a shame for them. We scored 2 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just going to deflate you. It's going to deflate you, isn't it?
It's partly xenophobia as well, because he said Nish about Everton doing the same thing a couple days.
Everton were worse than Villarreal.
Like, at least Villarreal got a second leg at home. Yeah. Everton, they're in a situation where they can get relegated.
They need to win. They should have come out against Liverpool, but
obviously.
Let's talk about Newcastle just quickly. Like, I think a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's all fair. Like, they go in January and drop 100 mil and buy blah blah blah. But yeah, I have to think, yeah, like I think that the quality that they brought in, like Target, Burn, you know, and then they went and got Bruno. Trippier. It's just like
Trippier, yeah, Chris Trippier. Wood. They had a solid team.
Like, they got in Premier League experience, and then they went and got Bruno, who's adding that bit of quality in midfield. Like, you have to say that's good. Like, if you if they did that in the summer, you'd be saying now, like retrospectively, like that's decent. Like,
and also the tweak of putting Joe Linton in midfield as well. Like,
mm-hmm. Stroke of genius.
I mean, we've said it pretty much every week, but you've got to give Eddie Howe massive credit. Yeah, yeah. And in fact, if he was there at the start of the season with that same squad, They'd be pushing for Europe right now. The way that they're playing
Leicester.
Now. Yeah, the way that they're playing now, I think they've dropped down to 10th now because of the loss, and I'm not sure where Leicester are.
Well, Leicester lost as well, so they're 11th. Brighton won, I think.
Brighton are 9th. Yeah, you're right. But honestly, I don't know about next season, but I can only go off what I've seen under Eddie Howe in the past, what is it, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah.
And the points that they've accumulated, I think it's the third most in the league behind Liverpool and City. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since he's come in. I mean, who's to say they can't challenge for Europe next season? It's been impressive.
You know, now like their whole market is different now. Players that they would have got without the ownership is completely different now as well. Now they become an option for players who really, you know, who have a bit of uncertainty, but who still have enough quality to maybe make it at a top six club. So I think like the biggest thing Eddie Howe did is the back four, like, because, you know, before all of these players came in, they still had Sir Maximilian Wilson, these good players, like, you know, who could do stuff. And then they didn't get relegated last year, did they?
Mm.
But it was at the back where they were a mess in it. And then bringing in Trippier, Burn, and Target. And then obviously you've got the super quality in Bruno as well. It just adds a whole different dimension now as well. And then, you know, they've stopped leaking so many goals. And then also, you forget, a lot of players, like, you play better if you play with better players. Like, whose form's improved. Like, for example, Cher or Shelby, Willock, all of these guys, their form's improved as well. Almiron doesn't look completely useless, you know, so, which he hasn't looked anything but since he joined.
I think the only one you could say whose quality level has maybe dropped a little bit is Saint-Maximin,
definitely.
And that could be an accumulation of many, many things. But and I'm hearing rumours that he might potentially be leaving Newcastle this summer. Who knows? He signed a 6-year deal only a year or two ago.
He just said recently, "I want to stay at this club." Yeah. I think for a guy like him, the whole game's not going through him anymore, is it?
So yeah, exactly. That's what I was.
It used
say.
To be. Yeah. Him and Vibes, mm-hmm. like get him the ball and let's
that's
see
why
what
he was so entertaining. He was literally dribbling past 6-7 players, isn't it? So, but I think him as well now, he's at a situation now where he thinks, unless he's going to get a move to like a top four pushing club,
there's
he's
no
probably thinking
leaving.
This is the best option I can go for. Because,
like, thinking next year, if they miss out, they'll probably be fighting for Europa League if they're being ambitious enough. Yeah. Like, we'll have to wait and see what they do in the in the transfer market.
Well, their form the second half of the season. If they can sustain that over a full season, that is Europa League type form.
Yeah, and plus they're going to add to it. So
I do think they need to be a little bit. They instead of splashing it on big name players, like be a bit smart.
They should do what they did in January.
I think the January window was quite smart from.
Yeah,
them,
yeah. I mean, like, there's so many like some bargains you can go find in different leagues as well. Like even just some of the teams you saw in the Europa League this week. Like if they got a couple of players from Eintracht Frankfurt or Leipzig, for example, or go into the French market, you can find some gems in it, and then players with good profile, and then they end up, you know.
Here's a quick question for you both. Then, let's say, well, we don't know who the third team going down is, so let's just strictly say Norwich and Watford.
Yeah.
Is there anyone? I mean, Norwich are already confirmed; they're gone. Like mathematically, they're actually relegated. Watford aren't far off; they're definitely going down.
They'll be relegated this weekend.
Is there anyone that you would take from those two clubs as a sign-in for Arsenal this summer?
I like Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis.
Ismail Assar's got a lot of X factor,
but he's still a bit raw, and he's like 25.
I think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah. He's very, very raw. But I mean, that level of pace. Is very.
Mane was quite raw when we bought him from Southampton.
Yeah. I think Mane was a lot more refined than him, though.
He was, but he was still like.
Yeah, raw player, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, yeah, maybe there's some moulding there, but I mean,
feel like.
If he was a little bit younger, maybe.
I feel like they're different prospects as well. Like Mane, I feel like he was raw, but there's more of an all rounded play with Mane than there is with Saar.
I could never see Saar playing on the left.
Yeah, like Saar's like a winger, like. And I could see him like in a specific function. Now we've seen Mane in three different positions in this time in Liverpool.
And Norwich, absolutely not. I don't even know most of their players. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
Placenta. Does Billy Gilmore count?
No, he doesn't.
And no. I'm not having a 5'3" DM.
You're not taking Hanley, you I'm joking, by the way. Let me clarify
we'll
that.
We'll catch
for
you
the
on
listeners.
The next exciting episode.
Hanley's agent is a scammer, this man. How did he get Premier League football?
Well, he's just stayed at Norwich. Yeah, he's guaranteed to come back.
He's come back
season.
In 2023, 24 season.
All right, let's move on. You've put the Leeds game.
Yeah, because obviously it's in the title. Right? I mean, so might as well talk about it.
Might as well. Okay, so Leeds played Man City in the late kickoff on Saturday, and Man City ran riot 4-0.
The scoreline, I mean, second half wise, obviously, is much more comfortable. Yeah. The first half, Man City were moving very, very mad. Like, very mad. Like, obviously, they who scored the first goal? Oh, yeah, they got the goal early goal with Rodri's header.
Yeah, yeah.
But then from then on, like, it was weird watching Man City because they had Rodri as the deepest, and then they had he's arrested De Bruyne for this game, and they played Gundogan and Foden, but they were both playing as advanced eights, but very high and wide. So then the wingers, Sterling and Grealish, were playing extreme, like, almost by the corner flag. So there was a massive gap in the middle, yeah, and it was just Rodri by himself, and Gundogan and Foden were just pressing high, and then the ball was getting played through them all the time. Leeds, I think, they literally are right now, they're coping on the basis of the fact that their crowd is very, very mad. And then you just get like loads of opportunities where Leeds, if they made a better decision, they probably could
like
have...
Like that Rodrigo.
Rodrigo could have and should have passed to Rafinha.
Well, yeah.
At 0-0.
It would have been an easy tap-in.
But even his first... Like when Rodri was it Cancelo slipped?
Cancelo slipped, yeah.
And he was through. His touches kept taking him wide. Yeah, like, I get it. But
heavy touches.
I don't understand. Like, you're a professional footballer. Yeah. Like, you get paid to do this, and you're just going wide.
But that's why, like, they're down near the bottom. You don't expect amazing decision.
But they
making.
Spent 20 million on this guy.
30 actually.
Crazy, worse.
Mate. Do you know what's crazier is? If Everton win their game in hand, Leeds go into the bottom three. I thought they were out of it, you know. It's actually mad, like, the fact that they got sucked back into it now.
Yeah. But who is Everton's game in hand?
Leicester. Away, though. I think it's away. If it was at home, I'd have backed. That's the same thing as well with Everton. The reason they're getting these wins is because they're at home.
Yeah.
Away from home, Everton, I don't back them to win any game. But their last three games, they've played
Chelsea,
Man United, and Leicester, and they got 7 points. So... But yeah, Leeds, I worry for them now as well.
I tell you what, Leeds' next two games, Arsenal away, Chelsea at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But who's Everton's next two games?
Leicester and someone. I think they got Watford or something away. That's
you're right, Watford, then Brentford, and then they end at Arsenal.
That's interesting. You
know. So have they got, is it Brentford at home or away?
Wait, no, it's...
Brentford at home, yeah.
They've
so.
Got 5 games left.
Yeah, they've got 5 games, yeah. So yeah.
Leicester away, Watford away, Brentford at home. Palace at home and then Arsenal away.
So yeah, I think those home games are going to come in. Yeah, crucial. And Watford, I think they probably could get a result as well. So, but just
really?
On this
Watford
away at Watford, yeah, Watford are down, mate. But I think just on the Man City performance, I think it was a good overall. It was an amazing result, obviously. And obviously they gave a lot midweek against Real Madrid, didn't it? That was like
no. Let's stop this now, Abdi.
What?
How? I just remembered what you did.
What did I do?
You went on Twitter and you put my striker and then my name next to it on the
oh,
tweet.
Yeah.
You're such a feral, bro.
Pagan, bro. Why?
Some
why?
Feral guy. He loves it.
Hey. He will be our striker.
But own it.
That tweet will age very well because he will be our striker.
What if he's not?
Hey, it's happening. And I'm not here and trying to hear it. Like, Pep Guardiola's coming out recently saying, even if we sign Haaland, are we going to keep Jesus? No, you're not, bro. Stop lying. Jesus is an Arsenal player already. So
I got linked with Arsenal and started playing out of his skin. Well, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm playing myself out of his
He wants to come to the carpet, Mark.
What happens, isn't it? You got to impress Mikel Arteta, isn't it? So, you know, it's easy to impress Guardiola, isn't it? You got to impress a high.
Easy to impress.
You got to impress a high caliber manager, isn't it? But Man City, I want to give credit to Ake. That guy is just like. Like, even Laporte was moving a bit mad in this game. And who was it recently who came in? Who's the other centre-back?
No. It was Diaz and Laporte.
Diaz was moving a bit mad
Stones,
as well.
Got injured against
Ake is just reliable. And he's honestly the best option they can have as a replacement left back.
Because like at the start of the season, like he made the mistake against Leicester and all this kind of stuff.
Community
and
Shield.
Yeah, and we were talking about like, really, do Man City even need Ake? It was a waste of money. And he's come up trumps in
and
the
last. He's playing left back as well now. So I think midweek, Zinchenko played quite well going forward, but he was obviously suspect defensively.
But do you feel like left back, he's got less like pressure?
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess, well, especially when Cancelo's playing right back.
Yeah,
I do feel from a fear for Man City. If they don't get Walker back quickly, then it might be a bit long for them, especially when you play teams that have good.
Okay, but what do you mean, wingers? Like this season?
Well, I mean Walker's injured now, isn't it? So they need him back, especially for these last remaining games.
You think Man City are going to struggle to win the Premier League?
Earlier on, when we were speaking, Mark thinks he thinks Man City will win all of their rest of the games in the league. Out of the two teams, Liverpool have the one harder fixture than any other, and that's Tottenham. But the Man City look to me like the team that could, you know, could drop points out of any of those games. Liverpool don't, at the moment, Liverpool are a bit of a machine right now. So they don't look like they're going to drop any points.
So Man City's games are Newcastle, Wolves, West Ham.
West Ham is a banana.
And Villa.
Well, still, exactly. Even if you look at it, on Man City, obviously the favourites in all those games, but they can easily slip up in all of those
I
games.
I think the hardest one is
West Ham away.
West Ham away.
I'm dreaming of a Coutinho 89th minute screamer on the final day, 2-1 Villa.
But yeah, you've also got to play Aston Villa as well, haven't
you? Yeah, we actually have. don't worry about that. We haven't mentioned that.
Steven Gerrard would be like, guys, come off the pitch.
No, you know in the video where the coach just runs on and stops the ball?
Yeah. But yeah, the reason I say that is because Man City, like defensively, they have looked a bit shaky at times, especially against Real Madrid. Like every single time they went ahead, they made a defensive or some sort of miss up at the back, and then they looked like they Fernandinho.
They dominated that game against
Madrid. They should have won that by more.
Yeah, I mean, dominated. In 20 minutes, they should have been 4-0 up.
Mahrez has taken a bloody piss because Mahrez is missing all of these big chances, and then as soon as he missed it, they went down the other end and scored.
Like, but what a goal from Vinicius Junior, man.
What a goal.
And then the Panenka penalty as well.
It was a quality goal, but literally every single Real Madrid player stopped. Even Courtois.
But they listen, the whistle doesn't go, there's no stopping.
Yeah. But I feel like
Man City will be ruined now. If they
that's what I'm saying,
end up regretting it tomorrow, then they're going to be...
What are your predictions for Wednesday night?
So the thing is, like, my heart is like saying, like, Man City are going to go through, like, because it's just...
Your heart.
Not my head, sorry. My head is saying... But my heart is like, Benzema is like the guy. He's just on fire at the moment.
That's what I was saying earlier, like last week, about Real Madrid are cashing in on their heritage. They're purely getting through on heritage. This Champions League heritage and the fact that they've got all of these legacy Champions League players in it. So, if anything, it's just if Real Madrid do go through, it'll be purely by the experience of being Champions. But I do think Man City have the lead. Man City are a better team.
Exactly.
But you can't count them out, man.
You can't even count out Villarreal because you never know what could happen.
Champions.
Actually, to be fair, you can count.
No. If the semi-finals from 2019 tell us one thing, Liverpool, Barca, Spurs, Ajax, is you can't until the game's done. That's it. You can't make any judgments. It's one in, one out for Madrid on Wednesday night. So Alaba's out from the first leg. Casemiro in.
Casemiro's back, yeah.
Which is important for them in that midfield.
Yeah. Nacho is he's 33 years old, and yet everyone thinks he's a young prospect coming through.
He's been a young prospect for about 10 years.
It's like Chiellini's been 36 for 10 years. He's shaky as well, so you never know.
2-1 Madrid. Depends. That's what I want to see. I don't know whether we'll see
exciting.
That.
But the thing is, as well, is like in the first leg, Man City were having so much joy in the middle. Mm-hmm. Whereas if Casemiro was there, I think a lot of that would have been snuffed out.
Yeah, like, no, he's massive. I'm massive to have like him back.
Man City wouldn't have
won. He's not going to get sent off.
So Abdi, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a Liverpool Man City final.
Oh, okay.
No one. I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Podcast.
I don't know about the league, but I think you will beat them in Champions League.
We're streaming live, Mark, from that
final.
He's gonna be sitting. He's gonna be sitting in his room, like in the dark, shaking.
Door closed, blinds closed, everything.
Yeah, but at least you don't know any Man City fans, so that's a good thing.
All right, so Villa played Norwich and finally relegated Norwich to what everyone has already expected for the last 7 months or whatever.
It's so typical that Norwich get relegated the same weekend that Fulham won the championship. They literally like tagged each other in to say, we'll see you in, we won't see each other actually because we're going down next year and you're going up.
You're coming up.
Yeah, let that be
Norwich,
the end, innit?
Norwich, I was telling Mark, have the record number of relegations from the Premier League in history.
It's crazy. Oh, mad.
Is that a record you won?
Exactly. Well, they're like, yeah, well, you got to come up to go down, innit? So.
Being a season ticket holder must be a myth. It's like 1 year you get like all the big boys. Yeah. Next year it's back to Barnsley, all of these, man. Next year, cool, all right, welcome in all the big boys again. Exactly.
Hopefully you can get that one nice winner season in the Premier League.
Wait, have they had that one nice winner season?
I don't know.
I don't think they have. I don't think they have this season.
It's been a pitiful year.
Like the season before when they were here, they beat Man City. So they were loving it, but... No,
they've just been a joke, you know.
And I would have respected them more if they did.
I feel like people are fed up with him now, innit? Yeah, obviously. I feel like people are more fed up with him.
I hope we get some fresh, slight tangent, but no.
I'm joking.
Take that back. Forest. I don't want to see Luton.
We don't want to see Forest.
I'd love to see Forest. It looks like Bournemouth are coming back up.
I actually want to see Forest come up.
I think Sheffield Wednesday are in the playoffs.
Norwich have won 5 games this season. How? Like when? I don't remember any of these games.
They beat Everton.
Oh, Everton.
That's all I know.
To be fair,
that like, Josh Sargent scored.
Oh yeah, against Watford. Yeah,
that's the one thing he's done.
That's
this
their
season.
Moment of the season.
But for Villa, it's a needed win.
Sheffield Wednesday are not in the playoffs, bro.
Sheffield United.
Oh, you want to see Sheffield United?
No, I was just saying who's in the playoffs.
You know, Tanya loves Sheffield United.
I'm saying I want to see Nottingham Forest.
And Bournemouth played this week, and they're like,
they play tonight, if, 7 o'clock
tonight. Yeah, so if Forest beat Bournemouth, Forest go into the automatic position.
But I do think it will be the top three that you see now. So obviously Fulham are confirmed; they're coming up. One of Bournemouth and Forest are coming up.
Huddersfield are level 1 points with Forest.
Nine and Forest, yeah.
And then I think whoever misses out of Bournemouth and Forest for the second automatic spot, I think they'll win that playoff. I think they'll win that.
I don't want to see Bournemouth back, man. Bournemouth—they just went down recently, didn't they?
Like 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay, cool. Who's their manager? Scott Parker, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what's mad? I was telling Mark the Forest manager when he took over, they were rock bottom of the Championship.
That's mad. And now they're
third, could be second.
Win tonight, they're second.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Automatic promotion. And then what is the last game of the season this weekend?
Yeah. So just staying on the Championship, we never do this. But I was asking Mark earlier, like, Mitrovic, we're always saying, like, oh, he's like an in-between striker. He's like not good enough for the Premier League, but too good for the Championship. And then he's gone, and usually he scores like 20-odd goals in the Championship. 43 goals.
That's the most that anyone's ever scored in English football,
In the championship.
Well, I mean, in English football in the league season. No one's ever scored 43 goals in English football in the league season.
Really?
That's his record.
I think there's a guy in League Two who holds a record like that.
I think 43 is the record they share. That's crazy, isn't it? But to be fair, like, obviously, those goals, I mean, if you're counting it, there should be half value in it.
You're counting
it. The championship.
So yeah, like, he's got another game to go as well.
Yeah, but... He broke the record about 15 games ago, didn't he? And it's kind of mad, isn't it? I don't think he's going to come back into the Premier League and start smashing goals. And I think Max will probably get 11 or 12, like I told you.
That's exactly what I said.
But yeah, that's what Mark said. But then Mark also raised the point, is like, if you look at it, is that not successful for a striker of that level?
Yeah,
Kane's on 12, Tony's on 12 right now.
Yeah. I think for him, his only thing is just like, I want to stay in the Premier League now.
Yeah.
Stop being a championship. That's it. That is literally bullying. That's not even, what do they call it? Pony, something about pony. What is it called? What's the thing where you say, where someone, they only score against small teams? What's the saying?
I think you're on your own.
Well, okay, cool. But someone listening knows exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. But yeah, do you want to
move
on
now?
No, I kind of get.
No, not
I get where you're going.
Flat track bully. That's what I mean. Cool. Pony.
Okay.
Pony. I don't know.
Flat track pony. Yeah.
Right. Do you think it's been a mistake for Danny Ings to sign for Aston Villa?
No, why?
Because he hasn't scored that many goals, but also he's starting behind Watkins.
Well, he started this weekend, didn't he?
Yeah. But okay. Sorry. Has that retracted the whole season? Like,
I'm not even sure he started. I think he came on for someone in the first half. I could be wrong.
But also, it's like you're guaranteed to start at Southampton, but you leave to go to Aston Villa, obviously, who had a decent project, and then you can't even start there.
He probably got more money, mate. Sorry.
Okay.
I think yeah, you know what I value in football. So.
Okay, so Mark. Mark, what do you think?
I mean, secure the bag and dip.
Would you not secure the bag?
That's Abdi's mantra. I would.
And to be fair, what's the difference between Southampton and Villa? Not much difference.
No, Villa are
a bigger club. But I mean, like, in terms of like.
No, but also they had a better project. Well, supposedly had a better project.
Yeah, he came on for Bailey.
He came on for Bailey. That was it. I think you're right. you're loving that little noise today. I think you're right about the. Obviously, it was more money. But I think as a Prem player, you can't go in and just expect you're going to have a spot in the first team.
No, I understand that, but like...
He's got a battle for that. And if it looks like, obviously, Ollie Watkins is first choice and Coutinho, they're not coming out of that team. So he's got a battle hard for that
but
third
I'm
spot
thinking
in the
like, I'm 29. I get it, it's more money. But like at the same time, you're not earning like pennies at Southampton. You're earning
but
a
we,
lot
we don't know. We don't know. Villa might have been the only club in for him, or he might have had a few suitors, but Villa was the best option.
Why not stay at Southampton?
You have to ask Danny Ings.
I think he's better than Watkins.
I'd rather be at Villa than...
He's better than Watkins.
I think Watkins gives you more in a game.
I mean, Ings is a better player though, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree.
He might be a better
striker. No, I mean, we can agree to disagree, but I'm right and you're wrong.
Okay. We're back. So Southampton, speaking of, played Palace and... they took an early lead and then Zaha got a really late
losing winner. To Southampton is so annoying because of the amount of games they've
this
lost.
This is what I was telling Mark. I said, I've never been so disgusted.
They've lost so many games recently.
Lost so many games. They've been so bad. And then the one game they win is against us and Forster has the game of his life.
And then in this game, he's letting the goal through.
Like Eze, that ball, and it was a good strike here, but it's not got the pace to go under his legs.
I was saying to Junior on the way here, listen, it was a long walk, so we had a long conversation, but...
he's had a lot to admit.
If Southampton didn't beat you, they'd be in this relegation battle. They're on 40 points. If they didn't beat you and
they're
you beat them, they would have been on 37 points right now. So, I mean, it's been an up and down season for Southampton.
We're
feeding families. You gave Everton the win earlier in this season.
Stop it.
Listen, after you said it.
Hey, guess who we're playing this weekend?
Leeds. And they're in desperate need of a win.
You know, it might be Thanksgiving for Jesse Martins, isn't it?
Well,
no, Palace have only won 9 games this season, you know?
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah, but they're a draw specialist.
14, yeah, they got 14 draws.
And they've got less defeats than... almost everyone above them apart from Man United in the top three. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. They've only lost 11 times.
They've lost the same amount of times as Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's a big call from Vieira. I think he left Zaha on the bench first time in a while. And obviously it had the desired impact. He come on, bagged the winner. Was it 92nd, 91st minute?
92nd
minute. I mean, if we're talking...
Is Elise injured or was he...
He's been injured this season, but he's coming back slowly. Vieira's like phasing him in.
Elise.
Oh, sorry, Eze. Sorry.
Sorry. I think Elise, I'm not too sure. He might. Didn't he come off? Didn't he get injured FA Cup semi final?
No, he didn't play.
No. Sorry, I bugged there. I was actually more surprised.
Why do you pretend like we know what's going on?
I was more surprised that Brighton and Palace have almost an identical record, but Palace have a game in hand. So if they win, they will have an identical record in the league. Like,
interesting. There'll be a lot of teams still playing for that top 10 finish. Yeah. I know it's not massive. For a lot of teams in the league, but your Brightons, your Palaces. When's the last time Palace finished in the top half?
Oh, but also the money.
You know, Palace have never, I think I said this in a podcast a couple of weeks ago, I don't think they've ever finished a Premier League season with a positive goal difference.
Well, they spent like 5 years with Roy Hodgson.
They've got plus 3 right now, so they're on
the
way.
They can do it.
Overall, it's a successful season for.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. FA Cup semi final, strong in the league. I know they've drawn so many games, but if they can turn three or
that's
four of those draws
that's an
into wins,
project for me.
Yeah, it is a really exciting
Danny
project.
Should go there.
That's what they need.
He should go there and break the monopoly of only black strikers ever. I think that's the rule. Vieira's like, I'm not having a striker with a lighter shade than me.
No, I'm pretty sure that Connor Wickham was there for like 7
And where's Connor Wickham now?
The man got no minutes though.
Yeah, no, he played one game a season.
he's a job centre, bro.
Wait, let me check. You guys talk. I'll check where Connor Wickham
All right, what was the next game? Brighton Wolves?
It was, I don't know if it was, but Wolves held a held one.
Another team that's just like,
yeah,
they've got Man City, you know, like you can't rely on them to win any game. They've been
their
horrible
goalkeeper,
recently.
Like, didn't even try for the Bissouma one.
JSR, yeah. See, most overrated guy, man. Ugh. He's another
you
one.
You were overrating him.
No, I never said that he's any good.
No, I just...
There's
did
evidence
I not
there.
Did I not question him? Like, do you
yeah,
remember
you
the
did,
game
but
Liverpool?
Then afterwards you were like, oh, he's been
he's
amazing.
been good. He's been like, he's been, he he's been good for Dons. Them, but he's not that good. Right, MK Dons.
Yeah, yeah.
He's... Fall from grace. I would have pretend like I'm injured and stay in the treatment room at Palace, bro.
but... I don't know what's happening to it. I think they're all on holiday.
Yeah,
I think they don't
so
care.
As well, yeah.
Wolves in particular. It's a shame though because what 5 games ago they were in that mix for Europa League,
yeah.
Conference League.
Mean,
even Conference League for Wolves isn't necessarily
only 3 points
a bad
behind
thing.
West Ham, so they can still go into
do you know,
the Conference
do you know what,
League.
Do you know what ruined it for them? Is when they started chanting about Arsenal, yeah. About celebrating. Since then, it's been a downhill. Because before they played Arsenal at the Emirates.
Yeah.
They'd only lost. They'd won 7 and lost 2 out of 9. They went to Tottenham and beat them easily. They beat Man United at Old Trafford, and then since then it's just been downhill slope. And then Jimenez got stupid red card against Leeds. Since then we haven't seen him.
But yeah, I don't know. They're only 3 points behind.
What position? Where are they?
West Ham.
Eighth.
They're 8th, and they've got a game in hand as well. So if they really like focus, they could finish 7th. That would be a shame on West Ham, who. You know, I'm sure that they're focused on the Europa League, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they've seemingly given up.
Yeah, I mean, well, I would be on the beach right now.
I know you would, mate. What did you say? Guy. What did you say last week? I can't even remember.
Why are you trying?
Why are you trying?
Yeah.
Why are they trying at this point? They can't get relegated, and they're not gonna really challenge for any.
No, they could get the Europa Cup.
No one wants to be in that rubbish. I don't want to be anything that has conference in the name. So why would you want to do that? Even if you like your Wolves player, like they've got aspirations to be. They've been in Europa League. Like they went, like,
yeah,
quarterfinals.
But it's
Europa
difficult
League.
To get into the Europa League nowadays.
So why? And also, who wants to keep playing Thursday Sunday? No one wants to do that, bro. Football. If once you're in the Europa League and the Europa Conference League, your Saturdays are you're never going to play Saturday 3 o'clock ever again. You can keep playing Thursday, Sunday. It's like, it's rubbish. No one wants to do that.
Okay.
So, but to be fair, like, if I was them, all of the lads are getting on a yacht. We're going to Dubai now.
Well, so you're just going to lose every game 3-0. Like,
hey, play the youth, bruv, man. We're going to lose anyway.
Play the
youth. Yeah.
All right. Then shall we just move on then?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, was there anything else to talk about?
Well, we could have talked about Brighton a bit more, but wherever I know. Everton played. Oh no, Watford Burnley.
To be fair, we can give this game a bit of time because it was looking like Watford were going to come away with the 3 points.
Massive win for Burnley.
What was it? Final 7 minutes, they bagged 2.
82 and 86, I think they scored.
Humongous. But why are they picking up more points now than?
Because they're actually playing football.
They can actually play football now.
They're actually playing football. Like, but Abdi asked a really important question before. Is like, what's the point of playing football without the ball? Like with Villarreal, is like. You want the ball when you play football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sean Dyche is a bit allergic to the ball. So his teams have like inherited that.
Ben Mee for manager of the month.
Yeah, shout out Ben Mee, bro.
But they're actually balling out now. And like some of the goals they scored, not particularly in this game, but they're just like over the
They
last
are balling.
Weeks.
Don't you think this is like, in terms of the ending to the season, I know there's hot, like, there's like 30% of the teams are on the beach at the moment. But in terms of the relegation battle, that's going down to the final day.
Yep.
Top four battle. Very potentially could go down to the final day.
Hopefully
and looking like the league battle could go down to the final day as well.
It's been exciting.
There's so much riding still on the rest of these games.
It's been one of the best like endings to a season for a while where everything is like, not everything, but things are still to play for.
Yeah, yeah. Just on that centre mid who plays for Burnley.
Brownhill.
Earlier in the season we were talking about, I've never seen him. You were like, yeah, he's good. He's not bad, you know.
I told you.
Don't judge me, yeah. But for like a 10-minute period, I actually turned on Watford Burnley. And the thing is, it's not on TV, is it? So I had to look for a stream. And then I reassessed my life. And then I reassessed my life. I was like, what am I doing, bro? No, I'm not. This is too much.
Which period of the game was this?
It's like when Watford scored, innit? So I was just like, and then Brown is not bad, you know. Like he's decent. Like he's quite tenacious. Yeah, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know he was a real person. It's just the name, innit? So, I'd prefer if you think about it, like out of those three that are in the contention for going down, Leeds are the least offensive to me. Mm-hmm. Like I don't dislike Leeds.
Yeah,
I fear for them the most. But if you were choosing one to go down, it's got to be Lampard and Everton.
I thought you know this is a change because like. You're
well, Sean Dyche
is gone now. Yeah, gone. I'm loving it.
Say, yeah, like, you are I Hate Burnley FC like fan club, but now you're...
All right, out of those three, who would you want to take if they go down?
If they... Who I want to go down?
No, I mean...
Oh, player-wise?
Player, yeah.
Oh, out of those three?
Obviously, Rafinha.
Yeah, Rafinha.
Rafinha is the standout option.
I would like... I quite like Dwight Mignolet.
Yeah.
He's only 20.
That Gordon kid from
Gordon, definitely. Yeah. Gordon is impressive. Yeah.
What's his name?
Andy Gordon. Yeah. And I know you guys hate him, but I'll take Richarlison.
Would you take him over Jesus?
No. Hey, I'm all in on Gabby. Bro. I'm all in on my Gabby. Yeah.
You know we're collecting Gabrielles.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Batistuta. Bring them all.
Batistuta.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a throwback. All right, because we're here. Let's talk about the Everton game, because that's the next one. They beat Chelsea. Massive, massive, massive goal from Richarlison. Massive 3 points.
Is he going to be banned now?
Richarlison? They're investigating it. They're investigating
it, man. Honestly, like...
I feel like he's a player like that just goes off emotion. Like he'll just do whatever he's feeling at the time.
Troy Deeney on Match of the Day said he's a much better player after he scored a goal. Because he's so desperate to get a goal. But after that, he's much more of a team player. Mm. And even against last week in the derby, aside from his antics as a human being, he was actually like, every time he was fighting up there, and he's in Alcatraz.
That's one thing I'll give him. He's a fighter.
He's an absolute fighter. Alcatraz. He was in Guantanamo, like up against Van Dijk and who was it? Matip. And then you got like Fabinho in front of you as well. Like you have to really fight for it. So he was trying his best, like running the channels, and literally he's by himself for most of the game. And even against Chelsea as well, like he's fighting up there. But I did think, yeah, there was a different level of fight from the Everton players against Chelsea than I've seen all season.
But that's the thing, like going back to Richarlison, like in terms of when I think of like Brazilian strikers, that's the only thing that he provides that none of the other ones do. Like, in terms of like,
well, Jesus is a presser, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, he's a presser, but like that fight of like never ever giving up, like he will chase you down, he will kick your ankle, he will dive, he will throw himself.
Yeah,
the
he's
ground.
Got a question. He's a bit Suarez, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll go cry to the referee, then he'll go laugh in the goalkeeper's face. He's everywhere.
He's a questionable character. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so that,
even remember earlier this season when he's having got DCL taking the pen away from him.
And that's the thing, like as a fan, as your player, you'd love that.
Yeah.
But as an opposing fan, you hate that. Like, ergo, Mark.
But he has scored a few goals against big teams this season. Like he scored against Arsenal, scored against Chelsea. Pretty sure he scored against Man City in the past. Tottenham. I think obviously his goal record is not good enough. To be fair, Everton have scored many goals this season.
He's like
scored
seven a season.
Scored nine in the league this season. Yeah. So, but I think he's a. I think there's enough there for me to think yeah. But I mean, if the price is ridiculous, then no.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is a player there.
Yeah.
He's just very inconsistent, like, in terms of his performances. And I don't know... Mark mentioned a few weeks ago that Mane is a player that, when the occasion can get to him... But obviously, Mane is, like, outstanding. But, like, with Richarlison, I think he's a player that can't afford to let the occasion get to him because then he can't perform.
Yeah, he might get a red card. He doesn't, I don't think he knows where the line is. But, I think that was a good point from Troy Deeney in the fact that he says he's a better player after he scored because that's what he was doing it this week. He was running the channels, holding it up. And Everton actually did quite a good job. Like, it wasn't completely back to the wall against Chelsea. Like, they had chances on the break, like, very good chances. Gray clipped the bar. Then a couple of others. Mikalenko, bloody hell. I don't know what he was doing, man. He had that completely free shot and he blasted it over. But I think... As much as like he gets criticised as well, but Pickford, what a save, man.
What a save.
Both of them. Yeah. There was the one...
He tipped onto the post,
the post,
right?
I don't think he tipped it on. It hit the post.
Hit both posts.
Yeah. And then it was a great save.
The other
save
one that was good was when... the one he took in to his face.
That was all the same phase of play.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
No, no, I think the one to the face was just
offside. Oh no, sorry, yeah, it was a
mount shot, hit the both posts, and then it came out.
He saved it, went out for a corner.
Yeah.
And then from that corner, he took that one in the face.
Yeah.
It was all in the space of about a
there
minute.
There were a few saves where they were, I mean, the thing is, like, there weren't amazing saves, like the one from Loftus-Cheek, he tipped it over, and then there was the other one where Kovacic cut in a shot, right? But then obviously they're better saves because at the point that they are in the game and in the season as well. I did think for the one where the arguably the save of the season, I did think like that was a weird technique of like he dove the wrong way. Like he literally went
But I've
backwards.
Seen that before though.
But like you'd think if you're coming from one side, you dive in that direction.
You would have dived head first into the post if you
You gotta do anything to save Everton.
No, but also like if you think about it, if you're diving that way, you might push the ball into the net. Yeah, if you're diving that way, he's pushing it.
But to be fair, the way he saved it, if Havertz was standing there, would have tapped it in.
But Havertz wasn't there.
Huh?
Saved it.
But Havertz wasn't there. So what do you have to say about that?
I do. This is one of the reasons why when Everton go down because of the antics after he scored. Did you see him walking around like he's Conor McGregor? This is why you will never succeed in life, man. He's such a showman. He's like Buffon on crack, bruv. You know how like whenever Buffon makes an amazing save and he gets up and starts pulling people's shirts and trying to eat it or something like that. Whereas Pickford, he's just like, his camera's like...
Yeah, but goalkeepers are a little bit crazy, isn't it?
But you got, listen, just to be fair, same with Ramsdale does a lot of that himself.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, Ramsdale did it the other week when Odegaard gave the ball away and he made a save and then he pointed at Odegaard like that. I was just like, what are you doing? This is not a play.
Just quickly, a massive win for Everton, but I do want to quickly chat Chelsea.
Oh, I love it.
I know you do.
Only three points off them.
I know, it's crazy. You know, you've won more games than them in the league this season. Yeah. Yeah.
Their league form has been horrible, like, when you consider what everyone was saying at the start of the season, me included. But I think what it is, they don't have one standout attacker. Mount is the best, and Mount's more of a midfielder, if you say. All of their attackers are all around the same level and all underperforming similarly. Well, obviously, Lukaku's a bit of a different case, isn't it? Sat on the bench the whole game against his old club. Horrible. Mm-hmm. Came off the bench against Man United. This week should have been a big week for him, you know? And there he is getting pocketed by Phil Jones. Well, Phil Jones kept slipping about him.
Do you think, you got to think, right, Rudiger, gone, Madrid. Gone. Christensen, gone, Barca.
Azpi,
if he's not gone, he's looking well past it now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Kante, I hate to say it. Looking a shadow of himself. Is this a sign of things to come for Chelsea? Do you see him competing next season for the title?
No. It'll take a couple of years for them to...
They're far away now. Yeah. I think this season they were tipping themselves to challenge, but you can see the gap is ridiculous. Like, they're like, what?
Well, they should have been challenging when you think, especially what they were saying about the quality and the depth in their squad.
They're 16 points off second, but 3 points off fourth.
That's
like,
crazy.
I mean, after like 12 or 13 games, they were 5 points ahead of City, three ahead of us. At one point, kind of a third of the way into the season. So
they had that horrible period in like December-ish and then they lost to Man City away and they were 13 points off the top.
Yeah.
Since then, the gap has only grown. Obviously, they've got the FA Cup to look forward to and he does seem like he's doing well in the Cups and they probably should have been Real Madrid and been in the semi-final.
Mm-hmm. Should have, would have, could have.
But yeah, the league form has got to be concerning because, you know, it's not enough for Chelsea to spend all that money over the last 3-4 years. And
I think it's a failure, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a big failure because at the beginning of the season, everyone was saying, oh, we've got the depth. Well, I mean, in terms of Chelsea fans, we've got the depth. And then there they are, looking so far away from the top two. And how on earth are they 3 points above Arsenal? And if Arsenal had fixed themselves up against the three games,
we could be third.
We could have been above them, clear as well. And we went there and smashed them up, innit? And then they drew against Man United, and Man United didn't touch the ball for like half an hour.
It's just Ronaldo and
In the second half against Chelsea, McTominay attempted 3 passes and completed one.
Yeah.
Centre midfielder, you know.
Man United are like Ronaldo and Prey. That's all they do. Like, yeah. Ronaldo and Prey.
That's it. Yeah, but we'll get onto him in a second. But hold on, Elijah. I was speaking to Elijah in the weekend on Instagram. He said something that made me laugh so much. He said, "You guys talk amongst." No, he said,
"What you guys talk?"
No, he was talking about. Oh, he was talking about Nuno Tavares, and he said he's the person to eat cereal by pouring milk into a cereal box and then wolf it down. I just thought I had to say that.
All right, so back on Everton. Now we can talk about it. Burnley, Leeds and Everton, separated by 2 points. Everton have a game in hand, but we're close to the end now. Like, four games for most of them, five for Everton. Who's going to go down?
I think Leeds.
Leeds, yeah?
I didn't know they were... Honestly, when I looked at the table, I was flabbergasted. I didn't know they were... I thought they had done enough. I thought they had done enough, like, previously when they were winning those games. But, man, they just got dragged right back in it. And then that's it.
They're, now, right,
they're actually below Burnley. Like, if Everton win their game in hand, they're below Burnley.
Because
so.
It's crazy, because... they had that manager bounce with Marsh where they drew and they were winning games. And then since then, it's just looked... I think they've gone on the under the radar of like how bad they've been.
And obviously, we didn't know, no one expected them to beat Man City at the weekend. They've got Arsenal away at the Emirates as well.
They've probably got the harder fixtures compared to their counterparts.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, like everyone keeps saying that Everton's win at the weekend was massive. But before that, they were 5 points behind Burnley because Burnley won on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, oh, but we've got two games in hand. But no one really expects Everton to win their game.
True.
But they went and, you know, it was a miracle result against Chelsea. Obviously, it was gifted to them and they rode the luck a bit. But Leicester away, although Leicester have got other priorities and if they do go through, then Leicester will probably be focused on that. But I don't see Everton going to Leicester and winning. Now, I'm not 100% sure on that. It'd have to be like a turn up for the books or whatever they say. But I think Leeds are going down because I just don't see where they can win next.
So their fixtures are Arsenal, Chelsea, Brighton and Brentford.
See,
I think they can beat
They're not favourites in any of those games.
I think
though.
Brentford are probably on holiday.
Bro, I'm going there with you.
And I think Brighton could be by the 15th of May. I think Brighton could be on holiday.
They're home against Brighton, isn't it?
So yes, they're at home against Brighton and then away against Brentford.
Do you know what the big thing about all of these teams is? Their home form is what they're really going to need, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
These big home games, but yeah.
So, Mark, who do you think? Just to wrap it up.
I'm gonna go with Everton.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Everton as well. I think they're going to struggle to... Other than their home form, they're going to really struggle to get points.
Right, cool.
But let it be known, I know this is a cop-out, but I think any one of those three could go down. It's going to be really interesting.
I think any one of those three deserve to go down. Like,
so long as we can sign Gordon for 15 mil plus add-ons.
Plus add-ons, yeah. What would those add-ons be?
If he wins Ballon d'Or.
Right, cool. So no add-ons.
If he scores 100.
Not a single add-on.
Martial had Ballon d'Or add-ons, bro. Never ever getting paid.
Okay. Spurs, now focusing on the battle for top four. Spurs started Sunday by beating Leicester 3-1. Two Son goals. And you have to say, like, wait, I have a question for you guys. I think it doesn't matter, but you hear this question so much on, like, during the games and stuff. It's like, oh, is it better to go first or second when you're, like, I think it doesn't matter, but, like, do you think it matters?
I mean,
like,
you can it's just putting the pressure on, isn't it? So it doesn't matter if you go first or second or not, but, I mean, like we always say, points on the board rather than games. And
I think it was Jamie Carragher or Roy Keane said it over the weekend. If you go first and you win, then you prefer going first.
Yeah.
If you go first and kind of fumble under that pressure.
Yeah, it's like when Tottenham played Brighton at home at 12:30.
Yeah.
That was beautiful for us because we had an incentive, but then we went and lost to Southampton. So it's like, it doesn't really matter to be honest, but...
But what a goal from Son. I think it was second one. Did you know he has the second most left-footed goals in the Prem this season? Just mad after Salah, which is mad considering he's right-footed.
He's right-footed, isn't it? He's second top scorer, isn't he, as well? Can we stop with this Kulusevski stuff, yeah? This guy, he gets the most Higgy Hagger assist, bro. He passed it 5 yards to Son, who's blasting in top corner, and he did it. He gets assist by pass. It's like getting an assist for touching it, and then someone kicks it from kickoff into the goal.
No, but it's like you complain about Bruno rocketing things into the crowd. Hey, like this guy's just playing it 5 yards, and it's leading to a goal.
Tanya. 1 week she's like, oh, Kulusevski, yeah, whatever. Maybe we overrated him a little bit. And then a week later, he gets two assists by Son doing all the work. And then she's at me again. Like, oh, well, say sorry to Kulusevski. This guy is not it, I'm telling you. And I didn't say now. I said between now and a year from now, I'll be right.
I don't know about it. When you say it, you're talking the guy, like proper, like,
what they're hyping him up to be now.
But yeah, like a very good Premier League player.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a decent player. For
yeah, I think he's rubbish. Okay, I'll be right. And Romero is overrated as well. Sorry, I'm just gonna have to.
Do you know what? I kind of understand the Kulusevski one. What I can say though with Chest is I think Romero is quality. I really and truly I think he's quality.
The reason I say so, yeah, back free tax. Yeah, so we were all reluctant to give certain Chelsea centre backs back. Also saying back free tax.
That's fair.
And also the guy is shorter than Saka. He's a 5'7" centre back. I'm not having it, bro.
I think he's good. But
all he's good at, yeah, is he's got decent aggression. So sometimes he's good in
decent aggression. Is that what you look out for when you watch a game?
When he's collecting 6 red cards next season, yeah, missing 25 games. I'll be here as well, innit? And I know the Tottenham fans are losing their mind because what I hate is the comparisons to Diaz and Van Dijk and all that stuff. No, you're not even as good as any of the Arsenal centre backs.
Ooh.
You can't imagine.
And on that note,
so Arsenal, both centre backs went and scored at the weekend to make it
Hairline FC, new Hairline FC, bruv.
Can someone chat to me about Gabriel doing the Van Dijk celebration?
Oh. Did he do Van Dijk?
Yeah, he
what
did
was it?
This.
Oh, was that?
The tongue out.
Is that a Van Dijk thing?
Of course it is.
Yeah, he did it first.
Oh, okay. I thought he did it.
He does it after every goal he scores.
What's that?
I don't know.
He does it after every goal he scores.
What is that though?
I don't know.
Like, what is that?
Ask Virgil.
All right, cool. But how do you know? Is it Van Dijk? Did he copyright it?
He did it first.
Bro, it's cool. If Van Dijk's Gabriel's idol, it's fine. You don't have to deny it.
I mean, that's an idol
to
have, though.
It's difficult to idolize someone who you passed.
Oh, yeah. Mad.
Anyway. Holding and Gabriel scored the goals that were enough to see off West Ham to go back into fourth.
This was a very uneventful game, but it was stressful.
Oh, stress, man. Stress.
Literally nothing happened throughout the game apart from...
Stress FC.
I think the most interesting thing was in the end was Declan Rice wanted to fight Nketiah. I don't know what Declan Rice was on, though. They're losing the game in the 90th minute and he wants to go back and still fight him.
The best bit was he was like... he said something like... Who do you think
what are you,
you
gonna
are?
Do? Yeah.
No. Who do you think you are? And then I'm like, Declan Rice, you grew up with Nketiah.
Yeah, bruv. Yeah, exactly.
You played like you were in the same academy team at Chelsea.
He looked at Eddie and probably said, "Stick your jollof up your ass, bro."
No, but the funny thing is that there's a tweet from Declan Rice.
I'm just trying Abdi the. You got that one. Not because I just
can't like Gabriel.
I quite like done it better. Yeah,
Gabriel did it better.
Well, yeah, okay, but it was a massive 3 points for Arsenal, like. And
oh, massive is an understatement. It was much bigger than massive. Mahusi.
Like I was saying earlier on, like, I was thinking when you were speaking about Liverpool just grinding up. At this point in the season, performances, I don't care.
You just
have to win. Just get the 3 points. Yeah, yeah. I don't care if you scammed it, if like if Arteta picked up the ball and threw it in the goal and somehow it counted. I'll take it, bro. We've got to get the points. That's it. And I think this weekend is going to be massive as well.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Do you know what would be, as Arsenal fans, it would be if we go and beat Spurs. Oh, if you God. Then fumbled it against Leeds,
yeah.
It
but
would just
do,
be like
yeah.
No.
Typical Arsenal.
It's just typical of this top four race. No one likes to capitalize on each other's poor results.
Yeah, everyone's super polite. Like,
just copying each other.
They lost. Right,
well,
cool.
We'll just hold it for a week.
We're just making it interesting. Yeah, but like if it goes the way it should go. 5 points clear going into the derby, meaning we would need to go there and win. And then we confirm. So like, but I mean, obviously the thing is like, we can afford to lose the derby, but we can't.
I don't want that nonsense. I don't want to hear we can afford
the
to
reason
lose
I'm saying
derby.
That is that if we go 5 points clear into the derby and we lose, we're still 2 points.
Yeah,
clear.
No, I know we
but
can afford
got,
it, but I don't want that mentality.
Newcastle away on a Monday night and then Everton at home, who still are
we
in
need
the,
to go to
the,
that.
Oh, it's not over. See, when you put it like that, it's far from
but
over.
But they've also got Burnley at home as well. Burnley still need points as well.
Yeah.
But
they've got Liverpool. So the first, I'm just taking it. I'm like the players at the
moment.
I'm taking it game by game.
And their last game is Norwich.
Their last two is Burnley.
We need to be above them going into those last two games, isn't it?
Oh my God, man.
It's too tense, man. I don't like it at all.
My heart cannot take this.
Last couple of years, I didn't care about the last couple of games, I just enjoyed them, though. Just like, you know, whatever, innit? I looked at the games, I was like, none of this can affect me. Every single second I'm watching a Tottenham game, Arsenal game. As soon as I saw Tottenham were 3-1 up, I was fuming. 3-0 up, I was fuming. So it was just like, and then Leicester as well, bending over and backwards for them.
Man, and West Ham playing a really strong team. I was like,
David Moyes, if they lose on Thursday, which they're down, they're behind in
his hands, man.
He's an idiot. Because
that's the biggest game.
But what? Let's be. What did you? They've still got a shout of qualifying for the Europa League direct from the league.
The thing
they have to make, there's got to be contingency plan. Look, if we don't win the Europa League and we finish 7th or 8th,
I mean, they're six points behind.
They beat Serie A winners Sevilla, and they beat a team that has a lot of good players in Lyon. Yeah, well,
does that mean Frankfurt should just sit down?
That's what the point I'm making is. Before you make your smart comments, yeah, the point I'm making is that they've got the capability to go to Frankfurt and win it.
Of course they have.
So. Like the whole argument of like, oh, well, we can still get into the Europa League through the league. You're in the Europa League now. Like, you've got a chance to make history, go and win the Europa League and go Champions League. Why would you risk it? This game means nothing for them.
It wasn't much of a risk, though.
They played Bowen 90 minutes against Frankfurt, Rice 90 minutes against Frankfurt, Zuma, who has one knee at the moment. Yeah. Yeah. And he's using it to kick his cat. and then. They all played 90 minutes against Arsenal in a high-intense game,
I understand you would have preferred to see a lesser
not
team
me,
out
not,
there.
Not just me. I'm talking about West Ham for their own sake. Moyes is going to regret Thursday when they're all tired.
Are you David Moyes?
They're going to be tired.
They had to go out there and try and win that game at the end of the day. Yes, they did. Of course they did.
Frankfurt is more important.
Of course it's more important.
So, obviously, you're
telling me a professional football game can't play two games in a week?
Well, when you're already struggling with injuries and suspension... You have to prioritise. And like we've seen Man City prioritise this season.
They rested for the first leg.
You lot rested players because you got a game on Wednesday.
I know, but it's different. Not to say it like that, but we can rest players and still be very, very strong.
It's true, but still.
But you got to remember, they rested all of them before the first leg. They've got rest in their legs. It's not as if he's playing them every 3 days, 90 minutes.
I'm just thinking, like, if you've got the opportunity to get to the Europa League final, a European final where West Ham never go. This has been
course.
A dream.
I actually completely agree with you, but like I said, if they don't go and lose that second leg, they want to be in with an opportunity to try that again next year.
Yeah, I mean, but to be fair, I don't think they're in danger of missing out on Europe now.
But would you rather Europa League or the Conference League? They're 7th at the moment behind United and Spurs.
They're 6 points behind United.
Mate, you're in it now, isn't it? You can't be focusing about going back into the Europa League when you're in it now. Use your time. That's what
we'll check your mentality next season. When you want to finish as high as you can in the league, are you going to tell me next season if you're 5th, going into the final few games of the season, you're going to rest players for a Champions League?
You think about that then. I think right now...
That's what he's doing. He's thinking about it now. He's in the moment now.
Yeah, he's in the moment. So focus on your second final. And also, the worst thing is the fact that they've lost. They lost as well. All of those players played 90 minutes, three games in a row.
But you're saying rest the players. They rested them all. Declan Rice rested. Bowen rested. Antonio rested.
The league game against Chelsea.
Yeah, all of them rested.
Cool.
Zuma didn't play. Dawson obviously got sent off. Fabianski played in the league. Areola plays in the
goalkeeper doesn't matter. But the reason I say that is because things changed. They lost their first leg. So you need all your big boys fit and fresh for an away game. In a game where you're chasing.
To be fair, that you could get injured in training.
I think you're stupid. I think they should have sacrificed it. I remember, like, just quickly, I know we're running short on time, but years ago, do you remember in 2004 when Arsenal played, like, had that horrible week, where we played Man United in the semi-final of the FA Cup, then he played Chelsea in the Champions League quarter-final, and then he played Liverpool in the league. Arsene Wenger, he said in his book, he goes, I wish I had rested everyone against Man United. And gone for it in the Champions League because we lost to Man United and then we went out because everyone was tired against Chelsea. Yeah. So he said, I wish I would have sacrificed that game. I just feel like Moyes, I don't want them to regret it because I don't mind if West Ham, I want to see a West Ham Rangers final. That's what I want to see. So, anyway, there you go.
Do you know where a German team has never reached the final of the Europa League?
Really?
And we could have an all German final this year.
Bruh, I didn't know.
I mean, Frankfurt got semi final a couple years ago, didn't they? So, yeah.
All right. So Man United beat Brentford, but I don't think any of us care, to be honest.
Our United listeners care.
You would be right.
Got their back.
I don't care.
All right, so so you've got their back, but a Man United fan has messaged us for a topic. So instead of talking about the game, let's talk about what he said. He sent us Fred. He wants us to discuss Fred's role for Man United this season. So Where it says this season here. So I'm assuming he wants us to discuss how important Fred has been.
With all due respect, I don't give a shit. Of all the people to talk about, why Fred?
I think Fred has delivered in some aspects.
I do
of
think he's
Man United. You clawed that one back. Was a wild statement.
Delivered what?
He played really well against Arsenal. He scored an important goal against Leeds.
There's a difference between a postman and a guy who just throws leaflets into your house, isn't it? So yeah, he's a leaflet collector or deliverer, whatever, distributor. Sorry.
No, but look, I don't know what you want from me. I'm just trying to be polite to our listeners here.
Yeah, I do think out of all the midfielders there, he's probably the one who's most coachable. But I don't think his ceiling is that high. He's not that good. He's not that good of a player, in my opinion.
Well, sorry. Hey, listener, if you're listening to Abdi's verdict,
Fred, the leaflet distributor.
And then just lastly, one other topic that we got, just to shout the guy out, because this is an incredible achievement. Ancelotti is the first manager to win all of Europe's top five leagues.
Crazy. And I said this to you earlier, but I'll say it again for the listeners. He's only won each league once.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that as a means to bring the achievement down, but I just think that's mad.
Yeah.
But he won it with, so what, he won the Italian league with AC.
Yep.
Spanish league, obviously, just Real yesterday Madrid. With Real Madrid, or the day before.
PSG.
Bayern and Chelsea.
Yep.
Interesting, but yeah, I think he, considering how long he's been in, he should probably, you know, he's only won one league title with all those teams. That's literally what he said.
I didn't
hear
what
you said. I'm sorry, I was looking at my phone.
Mad.
But the point I'm making is he should have won more.
But with Milan, he won the Champions League twice. '03, '07.
Could win it again this year.
Yeah.
Interesting. He didn't win it.
Why do you keep saying interesting?
I mean, it's interesting. Because I'm interested by it.
No,
because
it sounds a bit sarcastic. Like Mark said something interesting.
But just to close off that, obviously United won 3-0.
Yeah.
Brentford they've got a inferiority complex when it comes to Man United.
Yeah.
Because if they try, they could win, but they're not.
If they try.
And Mata and Matic look like the only Man United midfielders who can do anything. Crazy.
Mata's like 40, what?
Yeah, they're
like,
both leaving, isn't it? Yeah.
Bro. Did you know, my mind was blown. He was 25 when he moved to United.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Mind was blown when
he came
that.
Off a season for Chelsea where he got 35 assists. And in the January in the season after, Mourinho sold him because, you know, Mourinho's like a terrorist, isn't it? So he came in and he's like, no, I don't like creative midfielders. And then he sold him to Man United. And then he ruined his life when he came back to Man United. So it's just like, Mata's career is literally, Mourinho ruined it. I say, Mourinho came, his career is synonymous with terrorism. You know, he has to sit on the bench watching Bruno Fernandes.
Wow. All right. Okay. Let's end it with Man of the Week. So, Abdi, you go first.
I'll give it to Nathan Ake. Goal and the clean sheet. So, yeah. Shout out to him.
Cool. I'm going to give it to Rob Holding. His first ever goal in the Premier League. And it was an important... And
six years in a new hairline.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's impressive that he's come in and he's just managed to, like, play really well, to be fair to him.
And you, sir? If you can get off your phone 5 seconds.
I'm going to give it to... Well, if you check your phone, I was doing work, innit? I was hard at work. I'm going to give it to... I'm going to give it to Joel Gomez this week. Probably won't be much of a popular pick, but as I said when we were covering that Liverpool game, I honestly thought he was really good. My man of the match, personally. James Milner got the official man of the match. But yeah, Joel Gomez for me.
Cool.
You accidentally sent me a nude.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay, so we'll be back on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Peace out. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.